Stand fear. You know, fear is present at every single opportunity you're given. Amen. And you got a choice to make. I mean, how many times in God's word do you see where an angel showed up and the first thing that he said was, fear not? Why? Because right there, fear is ready to take away the opportunity of the Lord away. Amen. And paralyze us and to doubt and to not go forth in faith with what the Lord is bringing to us. Right. If you ever look it up in the scripture, fear not's just like a, it's not like a heavenly hello, okay? He's not just saying, fear not, you know. I mean, there's a reason right there, because fear always wants to rob you of what the Lord has for you in your life. So, amen. It is a good song. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 12. We are going to start talking about the kingdom of God. And there's many different reasons why. Let me tell you one of the reasons why. First of all, Jesus thought it was really important. That's the most reason. Second, I believe the Lord directed me here. I was listening, I was painting by myself, and I had some hours. And if you ever work alone, sometimes the day just seems to go slowly. And so I need something to kind of keep, you know, the atmosphere and the pace so I can just work a little quicker. And I started listening to this one series. And the guy doing the series says, well, you know what? This is building upon this series. So I stopped that series and I went to the series it was building upon because I felt like I was, you know, hitting midstream. And he goes, well, you know, we've been talking about this. So I stopped that series. The next one, I went to this series. And it started talking about the kingdom of God. And so I've started to inundate myself with the kingdom of God and what God's word has to say about the kingdom of God. And I'm about, you know, 10 hours in to studying on the kingdom of God. And so today you're going to get about three of that in 40 minutes. I won't make you last year to three. So anyway, that's where we're headed. That's where we're going, is the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 12, verse 22, says, this is Jesus speaking. He said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. Now let's be careful here. A lot of you can quote Matthew 6, 33. It says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things therefore that be added unto you, right? But let's not get so familiar with something that we don't hear what the Lord is telling us on this thing. So for that very reason, I'm in Luke. So you're not hearing it in Matthew, because that's, I think, believe it's preached more. But it says, verse 22, take no thought for your life. Other translations say, do not fret, do not worry. It says, verse 23, the life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And then he goes on to say, verses 24 through 28, how he, the Lord himself, clothes and feeds the world. Right? The grass and the birds and these things. And then we pick it up here in verse 29. And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. See, if we're doubting, then we're not in faith. If we're doubting, then we're lacking in our faith for the provision of the Lord. He's encouraging you, if I'm going to feed the birds of the air and I'm going to clothe the grass of the field, will I not do this for you? Verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As Christians, we should never have a worried thought about anything. Right? The Bible says, which one of you by worrying could add anything to your stature? And there's times in my life trying to make basketball teams I'd love to add to my stature, right? But worrying didn't get me there. I just got cut, and it happens, okay? That's right? So then I went on to be the rec league MVP in my mind, correct? That's all that's left. But how many ways does God have to provide for you? I mean, who would have thought in their life that food would just fall from the sky? That's one of God's ways of providing for his children, is it not? And who would have thought that one outfit could last you for 40 years? But it happened, right? Weren't they wandering in the wilderness and their clothes never wore out, their shoes never wore out? I buy a new pair of tennis shoes every year because they rotate. They go from the ones I wear to ones I paint in. Those get thrown away and then to ones I wear to ones I paint in constantly. Their shoes never wore out and food just fell from the sky. Okay, so God has infinite ways we've never even thought of to provide for us the basic necessities of life. Okay, so it says the nations of the world are seeking after and they're consumed with taking a thought. How many times have you heard the phrase, how are we going to have enough? How are we going to make it? We got to make a living. This is what the nations of the world seek after. And if we operate as the world, then what we are doing is we are denying or insulting maybe even God's faithfulness to his children. It says the nations of the world are seeking after these. We are not to look like, act like, behave like, or talk like the world. Instead, we belong to a different kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. Amen? So if we are going to operate in his kingdom, we must take no thought. In Matthew's version of the same account of Jesus' teaching, it says three times, take no thought. So it must be pretty important if he's going to keep repeating it. It means people must be taking thought about how are we going to make a living. Yes, it says in Philippians that all the world seeks their own. I think it's Philippians. It's either Philippians 2:21 or Colossians 2:21. You can look it up later. But all the world is seeking their own. What are they seeking? They're seeking their own needs, their own wants, their own desires. We are to be different. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. We, you and I, are not our providers. I know it's hard because we get up and go to work every single day to make a living. We spend a lot of hours at our jobs, right? Planning for our futures. The problem is we need to get our focus off of our immediate future because this life is just a vapor. It's here and it's gone. And get our thoughts and our minds and our hearts geared towards eternity. We've been doing a wonderful study on Monday nights by John Bevere called Eternity Driven. And the whole focus is eternity. What we're doing in this short time to practice our faith, to practice the will of God, to do the things he's told us to do. He's left us some demons to practice on. He's left us some curse to deal with, some sickness to overcome, right? He says we are more than overcomers. If we had nothing to overcome, we couldn't be an overcomer. And so that's this life now, but eternity should be our focus. And as children of the kingdom of God, it's his to give us. Eternity needs to be our focus at all times. I know it's hard because we have basic needs and we have needs that are constantly in front of us, but we can't limit God to our check after taxes, right? We can't just go look at our just or gross income and then make our budget upon that. Yes, there is wisdom in that, but we have to be faithful with what the Lord is telling us to do. We can't limit him based upon our paychecks. We can't tell the kids. Now listen, this may sound weird or different because I'm guilty of this. This is something that I believe the Lord, I'm asking him to renew my mind in. And all this is introduction, okay? We can't tell. God is our source, right? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and these things will be added unto you. So God is interested in things for you to have. Just like you as parents are interested in getting things for your kids that they like. How many of you have ever spent an afternoon or a weekend going around trying to find the thing they wanted for Christmas or for their birthday? Any parents ever done that for the kids? Any parents ever wanted to get the best they could possibly give to the kids? Well, how much more our Heavenly Father wants to give the best to his children? He cares about the things we care about, okay? But we have to trust and seek him first, and those things are added unto us. We should never tell, and I'm so guilty of this, our kids that we can't afford something. Because when we tell our kids we can't afford something, who are we telling them is their source or their supply? We're telling them that I am. And I don't know if you know this, but as a teacher for 14 years, my source was limited. That's the best way to say it. But we were truly blessed and never without. Never without. I'm never going to look back at my time as teaching as a time without. It never was. As soon as we had Haley Kendall quit her job, which was half our income at the time, and then we bought a home the next year. How does that happen? God's faithful. How does it happen then that I change jobs instead of commuting 40 minutes? I get to walk to work for the next 10 years, saving a car payment for 10 years, saving gas and car maintenance for 10 years. That's God's source and provision. And some people look at it like, well, you only have one car? Yeah, that's all we need. I can walk to work. What a blessing. But all these things are provision of the Lord. I had student loans that weren't supposed to be paid off until I was 43, I think. Well, both of them are already paid off since I've quit and followed the Lord into ministry from the teaching. See, this is just blessing and the provision of the Lord. And it wasn't just like a pile of money came down and said, here's student loan one, here's student loan. No, I've worked for it. As soon as that I resigned from teaching, we got a contract to paint that's lasted 3 years now and beyond and going into the future. That's provision of the Lord. Now, he can spontaneously do it, just like he can a healing or anything else. But as children of God, as we seek first his kingdom, these things are added unto us. But instead of telling our kids that we can't afford something, what we should say instead is this, you know what? Haley, I'll use my children. Megan, Noah, you can have whatever you apply your faith and believe for. And have them practice their faith. And the Lord will show it and will show a way. And as we walk and seek first his kingdom, these things will be added unto us. Matthew 6:33 says, it's not just about taking no thought. If you want to put that one up there. It says, take no thought, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So it's not just about not worrying, but there's a commandment. The commandment is seeking first his kingdom. The commandment is seeking first his things. You see, this is an emphatic statement like the one I read before a service today in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Words like impossible, they carry a lot of weight. It means it can't happen, will never happen. There's no way in the world for all eternity can you please God without faith. Well, here it says, seek ye first. It's telling you what to seek first. It's not saying seek family first. It's not saying seek your living first. It's not saying seek your marriage first. It's not even saying seek God first. It's saying seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness means his rightness. What is right before the Lord? That's what we are seeking. Most of the time we are seeking instead what? Our security financially, our security in our home, our security in relationships. How many of you, don't raise your hands because it's a lot of us, if you could count how many hours you spent looking for Mr. or Mrs. Wright? For me, it was a lot, right? It was a lot. I thought about it. It consumed me to the point where, you know, I didn't date for 3 years because I thought it was hopeless, okay, and things of that nature. But we spend that time, we invest that time in getting secure in a relationship. Because we're seeking our acceptance in a relationship, one that we can see, touch, and feel. Because the one with our Lord is by faith. And it's harder. It's more difficult. But we are all accepted in the Lord. And once we know that, and once we know in Christ Jesus, we are accepted of the Lord, then we can walk freely about without a care in the world. We can be goofy and dumb and silly, knowing that the Lord will bring whom he will to us because that's his desire. That's one of the things that's going to be added unto me. For example, when I was at Purdue, my wife was in Africa. It's hard to get farther apart, amen? I wasn't even thinking about a wife at the time when I started praying for a wife. I wasn't even thinking who that person may or may not be because she was in Africa. That's far away, people. But God, as I was seeking him and praying for a wife and seeking his kingdom first, and I've told you this story before, if you've not, bear with me. I started teaching myself to play the piano because I wanted Christian music in my home because I got saved at Purdue, okay? And so I was seeking his kingdom to get music, and I sold all my secular CDs because music was such a big part of my life, and I wanted that to be the majority of my life. And I started praying. I started going to Campus Crusade. I started going back home and going to church because the ones at Purdue were awful. Or I just didn't find one. I shouldn't say that. That's a terrible statement. Okay? But I went to the university church. And the university church basically was trying to meet the needs of every single denomination that ever existed. And I couldn't handle that, so I went home. Okay? Not that they're not doing a good work. My wife was in Africa. I mean, who knew? God did. And those things were added unto me. She came home, and we went to a race, and I ignored her for 2 weeks after that. She's still here, folks. This works. I'm telling you. She's right there. I can tell you. I finally emailed her on 9/11 and said, hey, it's been a rough day. You mind if I call you later? That was my first email after 2 weeks, something like that.
You're not giving lessons, are you?
All of that to tell you this, God is full of grace and mercy. Because most girls would have just probably turned away and said, what is up with that guy? It is what it is. He's got game, yeah. Woo. Thank God seeking the kingdom worked because, woo, I wouldn't be married. Not to her anyway, probably. Most of the time we're seeking our own kingdoms, though, and how in the world we can grow our own kingdom, our own ministries, our own acreage, our own household, our next business opportunities and business ventures. Not that those things won't come, and the Lord doesn't want you to have them, but he doesn't want those to capture your hearts and minds. Instead, he wants to capture your heart and mind. And then those things are added unto us. Amen? So let's start talking about the kingdom of God. I have 3 weeks to share with you the kingdom of God. Wow. Sorry, Pastor. I have until next November to share with you the kingdom of God. Every time I preach, it may be that. It doesn't mean I'm going to preach every week. But bear with me. You guys are gracious. I appreciate that I can come to a family, right? And you have that one goofy guy in the family that you can laugh at. And I just love that it's me. Last night, when we were dancing at the father-daughter ball, I mean, every time I looked, Colin's like right here like this. He's taking all these pictures. Because I was one of the few, you know, I was out there dancing. And I'm like, stop, just go away, just leave me alone. I was trying to keep up with Megan, like I was telling you. She's just all about it. And her facial expressions, she gets them from me. I can't blame anybody else. God bless her. Anyway, here's three questions we're going to answer here. Why is the kingdom of God important? Why did Jesus come? And what did Jesus preach? The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is mentioned over 100 times, mainly in the Gospels and the book of Acts. That sounds pretty important. Over 100 times it's mentioned. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Twice it's called the kingdom of peace. Once called the kingdom of salvation. Never called the kingdom of grace. Because it also says, preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom of peace, or the gospel of peace, the gospel of salvation, but never the gospel of grace. I just throw that out there to you. So this is important. It's 100 different times, or more than 100, it's mentioned. We, as Christians, right, as those who follow Christ's example, should emphasize and preach what he did. We shouldn't go off on our own way and preach something different from his word. At least I don't believe so. So we should emphasize what he did. It's been said, if you watch, you know, secular TV, or they're doing interviews with Christians, or they're doing interviews with other people who don't really follow the Lord, but they want to put you in your place as a Christian because they want to feel like you're not doing it right, even though they don't believe the Bible. And they say, well, you need to accept me because Jesus, he preached love and acceptance. Well, he didn't. If you read the Bible, and especially go through the accounts of the Gospels, he preached the kingdom of God and repentance. See, the problem is when a lot of people are telling you, Jesus preached love and acceptance, what they want you to do is accept their lifestyle and the way that they're living. But Jesus never accepted a sinner's lifestyle. He accepted believers. He chose them before the foundation of the world. All he came, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it says that us, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians, we are accepted in Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. He did this for us. So yes, we are accepted in Christ Jesus, but all of our ways aren't accepted in Christ Jesus. Right? It says he preached the kingdom of God and repentance. When he came out of the wilderness of being tempted by the devil, where he refuted all that with the word of God three times, right? The first message he preached was, and you can see it in red letters if you go to Matthew, the kingdom of God and repentance. That's the first thing he did before the Sermon on the Mount. Let me go there. Don't take my word for it. It's not in there. I'll just read it to you real quick here. It says here, all right, Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. It says, get thee hence, Satan. It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. When him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him. That was the third time he was tempted. And behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Verse 12, now then Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison. He departed to Galilee. He left Nazareth. He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, this is the sixth fulfillment of prophecy. If you start reading in Matthew, this is the sixth fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament, if you're going through Jesus' life through Matthew. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach. He's just beginning to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, it's called the kingdom of God to let us know the kingdom is not of man. Right? It's of God. It's called the kingdom of heaven to let us know it's not of this earth. So this is why you're seeing these different phrases used for the kingdom of God. So this is what Jesus preached. And if you go through the Gospels, don't take my word for it, find these 100 times plus. It got to the point where he talked about the kingdom of God so much, you had people like James and John's mother asking Jesus if their children could sit on either side of them where? In the kingdom. Because that was what was on their mind and hearts because Jesus preached it. When he was going on the way to Jerusalem, getting near his death, they asked him, they thought that the kingdom was immediately going to present itself right then and there because he was on his way to Jerusalem. That's how much the kingdom of God was in their minds and in their hearts. What did the thief say on the cross? When you enter into your kingdom, it was prevalent. This is what Jesus preached, and anyone who was around him knew that it was about the kingdom of God. He didn't preach love and acceptance. People want to say all the time, don't judge me. I don't have to judge you. He will. That's why I'm trying to teach you and show you and reveal to you truth by loving you, but not accepting a sinful lifestyle. Amen. Let's go through some of these. Oh, look, I already had that. I know it's Matthew 4:17. I didn't even know that, but I went there. Praise God. Let's start in Luke here. I'm just going to look at a couple of these examples as we go. I want you to understand that when we're spending this time on the kingdom of God, it is because Jesus spent this much time on the kingdom of God. And if he's going to preach the kingdom of God and repentance, then what should we preach? Likewise, the kingdom of God and repentance. Repentance is the most beautiful gift we have as believers of Jesus and non-believers, right? Repentance from non-believers forgives every sin ever committed at that point. And repentance for Christians is from each sin beyond that, as he reveals to us in our life what he wants us to change or where we miss the mark. It's such a wonderful gift that we have that is available to us, and it's his mercy of which he has given it to us. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David, his father. And he shall reign, as Pastor's talking about, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The purpose of Jesus coming was not just for salvation. It says he shall reign, and of his kingdom it will never end. From the beginning, when Mary conceived, this was Jesus' destiny. And now ours as joint heirs to the kingdom of God. If you look at some of the great kingdoms of the past, the Ottoman Empire lasted for 620 years. The Venetian Empire lasted for 1,100 years. The Roman Empire, 1,480 years. The time of the pharaohs in Egypt, 2,800 years that kingdom lasted. That's a long time, longer than any of us have ever lived, right? But what happened to every single one of those kingdoms? Do they exist today? They ended. Why did they end? Because the people who were in charge of the kingdom, what happened to them? They died. It says, and of your throne it will never end. Why will Jesus' throne and kingdom never end? Because he's risen from the dead. He's never going to die again. Why can we reign in that kingdom forever? Come on, saints. This has got to be more exciting than that. Because we are never going to die. We're going to reign forever with Jesus as he's upon the throne in his kingdom. We don't have to be part of, there will be no the United States of anything. There will be no the Republic of this. It's not going to exist anymore. There will be the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ upon the throne and to us given to rule over as well. I'm jumping ahead, but when you look into eternity and it says you will be rewarded, like the one given the 10 talents, he was given rule over 10 cities. The one given 5 talents, given rule over 5 cities because he was faithful with what he was given of the Lord. You and I have been given gifts, abilities, and graces to use and to operate in his kingdom. How are we doing? How are we sowing it? Are we bearing it and waiting for a better time to use it for the kingdom of God because we don't feel our house is completely in order yet? But aren't we first supposed to be seeking first his kingdom and then the house in order will be added unto us? That's where we need to get our focus. His kingdom will never end, and we're a part of that kingdom. When they're ruling over cities, it's not make-believe. These are real cities. These are real cities you're going to rule over. I mean, you could be ruling over Paragon, yeah, and Eminence, and Whitaker, and Little Point. I didn't say they're huge cities, but they're going to grow because nobody's ever going to die. Amen? I don't believe it says nobody ever be born again, right? Still going to have a burst for a while. Your cities will grow. It's all right. Give me Paragon. We'll make it something to be envied. Amen. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 4. Let's continue here before we get too far off track. Luke chapter 4, verses 42. So Jesus didn't come just for salvation. He came to rule and sit on a throne forever. Chapter 4, verse 42. And when it was day, he, being Jesus, departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came to him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. He must go preach to other cities. We must preach. How do we preach to other cities? Is that all of you work in the same place you live? Some of you might. Did any of you ever travel anywhere else in your lifetime other than just Martinsville? Hopefully. If not, come see me. We'll try to get you a vacay somewhere. Amen. Martinsville's wonderful, but there's other places to be had and seen. But every city, this is why we go to church, to learn of his kingdom, how it operates, so we can be equipped to better advance his kingdom as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 says that every city Jesus went to preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Every city he went. He said, I must go. If he must go, then we must go. Luke chapter 9, we're just continuing through the book of Luke here, looking at how the kingdom of God was such a focus. Because when we read a chapter a day and we skip around the Bible maybe, not read something, you know, from start to finish, one book or the next, we can miss the theme of what's important, what's going on. So this is, you know, just going through, and it's not every mention of the kingdom of God either. I'm just taking through a few of them. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money. Neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter, abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel. What gospel? He just told us in verse 2, the kingdom of God. Preach the kingdom of God. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God and healing everywhere. Authority over demons and to cure diseases. Healing and deliverance is an integral part of the kingdom of God. Because sickness and demons is not the will of God. We have to get that firmly embedded into us that sickness and demons are not part of God's kingdom. When I checked, when I read the Bible last, when Satan rebelled, he was kicked out of where he was. He was made to leave. And he can still go before the throne and accuse us today, but his days are numbered. Amen? And now, here, because of the Holy Spirit within us, all of whom God is in us, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, we have authority to kick out demons, to kick out devils, and to cure diseases. Do we believe it? Are we kingdom children? Did Christ do it? Did his disciples do it? Is God a respecter of persons? No. Does God ever change? No. So why would healing not be for today through us and in us? Why would deliverance not be for today through us and in us? God's kingdom never changes. He never changes. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, same chapter, verse 57 through 62. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looks back. This is a longing look back, as if you're missing out on something because you're leaving to follow the Lord, is fit for the kingdom of God. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. And this is hard to say, but we are not to seek our family first. And I'm a family man. I have 3 children and a wife whom I love dearly and would give my life for in an instant. But if I want to do right by my children as a father, if I want to do right by my wife as a husband, I have to first seek the kingdom of God. There's no other option. There's no other choice. I'm not neglecting them. I'm covering them. And that's what we are to do as children of God, as men and women of God. The best way, whatever circumstance is, to get those needs met in your circumstance is to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added unto you. It's a hard saying, but think about it. What if Moses put his family first? He never would have left and went back and been used of God to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. What if Abraham put his family first and never left them as the Lord commanded him to leave his family? He disobeyed and brought Lot, and he didn't speak to him again until he separated himself from Lot. Well, who would have been a father in the faith? Isn't our blessing we're now in because of the faith of Abraham? What about Jesus? What if he would have neglected going to the cross because he had a mom? And he had earthly siblings, and he put them first. You see, it's a hard saying, but it's a true saying that when we seek first the kingdom of God, there can only be one first. If we're seeking our family first or we're seeking making a living first, then we're not having God first. There's only one first place. I love the YMCA, but there's only one first place. I know. I didn't grow up. I didn't grow up where everybody gets a participation trophy. I grew up in a realm in which if you won, you got rewarded. If you lost, there's next year. You know? And that may not be the right way, but that was the way. It's the only way I knew. But now I coach for the Y like 19 soccer teams because we have so many children. We just coach them all. And we all get rewarded. For what? We won one game and tied three and lost 19. That's okay. You played. Yes, we played. Anyway, I digress. I apologize. But we have to seek first the kingdom of God. Unlike this system we grow in where you know, you can't have any kind of criticism whatsoever. Even though the Bible says that every scripture is good for rebuke and every scripture is good for exhortation, but to chasten us to grow up in the Lord and to grow up in his kingdom. And we live in a society where we're trying to make no rules and no laws so all feel accepted no matter what in the world that they do or say or how they feel. That doesn't work in the kingdom of God. And the beauty of it is you and I don't belong to that system. We belong to a different kingdom. We don't have to play by those rules. We don't have to play by the devil's will and his way. It should be our job every day to frustrate the perfect will of the devil, right? And to obey the perfect will of our Lord. And as children of the kingdom of God, we don't operate by his rules and his ways. Just like here living in Martinsville, I don't care what the laws of Mexico are. I'm not under Mexico's rule. Praise God, right? I'm under Uruguay's rule or any other kingdom or nation you want to think of. Just one. It's the same thing now with the kingdom of God. We are under a different set of rules. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But Colossians 1 says we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into that of light. That's where I belong now. Wow. I jumped way ahead. I've been listening to pastor for 16 years or something. Yeah. Here's what the devil wants to do. You may say, well, you say like every week, well, I jumped ahead of my nose, yeah. Here's what the devil wants to do to you. Well, okay, I'll seek first the kingdom of God once I get married. Because then I have someone to do it with, to partner with. I know God has a ministry for me and my wife, and so I can't start until I get married. Or I'll seek God once the kids are out of school. You know, and all that dies down and calms down. Or I'll seek God and sow into the kingdom of God once all my bills are paid. You see, the devil will keep giving you a once again, something else to do. And something else to do. And then all of a sudden you realize you're 70, 80, and it's over. And we're like the thief. Just remember me when you go into the kingdom, God. Because there's always something else that we were trying to do and put first before the kingdom of God that we should have been doing. The devil will always give you another once. Where is the kingdom of God? Now we can move forward. The kingdom, it's basically two words. It's the domain of the king. It's where the king rules. Merriam-Webster says it like this, and I love it. And this is a secular, a dictionary or whatever. It says, it is the realm in which God's will is fulfilled. That is one of the best definitions I've ever heard of the kingdom. The realm in which God's will is fulfilled. You know, think about it. Whoever's in charge, their wills are being fulfilled. Whose will is being done in the company? The bosses. Whose will should be being done at home? The parents. I know it's not popular to say that today, and you know, it seems like five-year-olds can, what's it called, emancipate themselves from families, but that's not right. The parents' will should be done in the household. Amen. God has set up an authority structure in his kingdom, right? God's will should be done in the kingdom of God. It's his will that should be done. Matthew 6, 9, and 10 teaches us to pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. There's none like you. God hates a system. It says he hates the doctrine of Nicolaitans where you set up a hierarchy. See, the kingdoms on this earth got it wrong because they had a king, then they had earls and dukes and magistrates and all these other things who would try to thumb down the person right below them. Well, in our kingdom, there is one who is above all else. And then us are all joint heirs, brothers and sisters in the Lord, with Jesus Christ. So he got rid of the hierarchy system except for one. It's the kingdom of God. His will is to be done. And then it says, after holy is your name, there is none like you. There is one God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Does that mean that the will of God, Adam already talked about this morning, is being done everywhere on the earth? No. But where the will of God is being done, that's where the kingdom of God is present and it should manifest. So where is the will of God being done? In you, in me, in Spirit of Life Church? That's where the kingdom of God is right now. We're in this kingdom right now. God gave, Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Let's keep laying some foundation, because this isn't a one-week thing. This is a three-week, 19-week thing. Did I say 19 weeks? It's not 19 weeks. Yeah. Luke chapter 4. We're still in Luke. Verse 5 says, "And a devil taking Christ up to the high mountain showed Jesus unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." Why was he showing him all the kingdoms of the world? He was going to offer them to Jesus. Well, how can he offer something that's not his? It says that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. So if Jesus was tempted, that means it had to have been real. It means the devil had the opportunity to give to him the kingdoms of the world. Why does the devil have the kingdoms of the world? Because we were given it by God to Adam in the garden, and Adam, through rebellion, gave it away to Satan. You see, Adam was never supposed to die. But because of sin, and then death came. God's will is not death. It never was. Jumping ahead. So we got to understand that the devil is now influencing the kingdoms of this world. Can we not see that? The kingdoms of this world, they're off the chain. Just look at our own. I know we're not called a kingdom in the United States, but it's a form of government. Look at all the backbiting and the chaos and the division and fighting. Is that the kingdom of God operating in our government? Absolutely not. I mean, every single time this bothers me for one simple reason. It's just a lack of respect and honor. But every time I see anybody talking today about our president, they never use the word president. Sure. Never is the wrong word. But they rarely use the word president. They're constantly trying to degrade his authority because they don't agree with the man and who he is. I had this same thing. We have this thing here called Freedom and Fullness. And if you don't know, it's a deliverance ministry that offers inner healing and peace, and just living out victory in Christ Jesus, Spirit of Life Church. And there are several in the church trained in this ministry. And I was going through mine, because we all have junk. We all lived in the world for a time. We were born into sin. And I was struggling with somebody in my life and his authority over me in my life. And I would always call him by his first name. And at the very end of this session, as the Lord is doing a work in my life, I used his proper title, which was doctor. And it just showed the Lord's work in my life. It's not a secret. I didn't have respect for him, and he was just our administrator. But I used his title, and I gave him back the authority he should have had me as an employee the whole time that I worked for the school system. It's a very simple thing like that. When we strip that, we're not operating in the kingdom of God. And regardless of that person deserves it. It's not about what the person deserves. It's about our hearts. It's about our lives. It's about us honoring the Lord through honoring that person. So anyway, but that really bothers me. But our government is just off the charts at each other's throat constantly. We're not the only ones. There's plenty of other governments I wouldn't want to live under right now. I didn't dodge bullets to get to church. We're not underground right now. Right? We're not threatened to come and be all brought to jail because we're speaking the name of Jesus Christ in this house. So when we're speaking about the kingdom of God, it should look different. We can clearly see that the devil is influencing the kingdoms of this world. And he has that right to do so. Adam gave it to him. Luke chapter 9, verse 11. We're getting close to wrapping up here. Luke chapter 9, verse 11. Let's look at this one. And the people, when they knew it, followed. Well, let me go to verse 10 then. The apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. So this is after I read in verse 9, they're given power to go out, preach the kingdom of God and healing and deliverance. So they went out and they preached the kingdom of God, and they, through them, the Lord healed and delivered. So the apostles, when they returned, were telling Jesus all they had done. And he took them, Jesus took the disciples, and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spoke unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Healed all of them. Every time the kingdom of God manifests itself, healing is just a natural outpouring of the kingdom of God. Deliverance is a natural outpouring of the kingdom of God. You being provided for is a natural outcome of the kingdom of God. You having food to eat, clothes to wear, is a natural outpouring of the kingdom of God. Why? Because our King is good. He is only good. He only knows good. That's who he is. When the kingdom of God and healing, victory is where his will prevails. Where is the kingdom of God? It's where God's will is being done. They were preaching the kingdom of God and the will of God happened. There was healing everywhere. Jesus preaching the kingdom of God, he healed all who were present. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. Maybe it was 4,000. Yeah, it was 5,000, this one. But healing was everywhere. We are empowered. You and I are authorized, sent to preach the kingdom of God and to heal and to deliver. The devil should get tired of trying to put sickness upon Christians because they're just going to get healed. He should get tired of trying to take away our things and steal from us. Why? Because we're just going to be provided for. He should get tired of trying to destroy things in our lives. Why? Because he can't. We are bought by the blood of Jesus, covered by the blood of Jesus, and I have an angel over my household standing there and says, no, the blood of Jesus covers this house. The blood of Jesus covers these children. The blood of Jesus covers this marriage. The blood of Jesus covers whatever. Whatever is yours, given to you by your King in heaven. The blood of Jesus covers it. So when we look around this world, is the perfect will of God being done in this world today? We can't say that the kingdom of God is all the world that we see, right? Some say that all that happens is the will of God. On this, if you say that, we are in difference of opinion. I don't believe all the will of God is being done on this earth. I did not pray this morning to have my Frosted Flakes. And I repent. I didn't ask if it was his will, what should I eat for the breakfast? See, we make decisions all the time outside of the will of God. I'm not saying I was sinning, but we got to understand, when we say God is in control, and you say that only when something bad happens, but you're saying it implying that God's in control of everything. Well, he wasn't in control of what I wore this morning or what I ate this morning or which vehicle I drove because I didn't ask him. And maybe that was wrong of me. I apologize. I repent. But you got to understand, if you're going to make the statement here, then it applies to everything. It applies to everything. So when you're saying God is in control, why are people saying this? If an earthquake kills people, if there's a huge pile up on the interstate, if a suicide vest went off in a school, abortion, you're telling me that's God's will because he's in control of everything? Well, last time in John 10:10, it says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Abortion to me is killing and murder of babies. That is not God's will being done. He is not the destroyer. If he is, then you're saying that he's doing the same works the devil is doing, and if they're in cahoots together, we have no prayer. We have no chance. But God's will is not being done everywhere. His will is not death or destruction. We have to stop attributing the works of the will of the devil, which are happening in this world all the time, to that of God. We imply that God saw fit and chose all those people to die, and we say statements like, well, God's in control, or you just never know, you know, what he might do. Well, we do know. It says in Ephesians, we are to understand and to know the will of God. It's not a mystery to us, not as his children. There may be things like you as parents don't tell your children right away or all the time, but they pretty much know why and when you do things for a reason. You don't just withhold that to them. That would be cruel, wouldn't it? At some points in your life. If it's stole from you, God is not a thief. So be careful. If you're saying that all is in control of God and you were stolen from, then we're accusing God of being a thief. He is always good and he never has bad days. Amen? Amen. I'll agree with myself. Amen. I don't think God ever has a bad day. He's been God a very long time and he's still on a throne. He's not going to fall off. Praise God. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it says, we already read this, it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. We have to know what his will is in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you right now that sickness is not the will of God. I'm telling you right now that hurricanes and typhoons and tornadoes and earthquakes and 110 degree days and minus 30 degree days are not the will of God. Death is not the will of God. Me right here having this huge blister in my hand from raking dead leaves is not the will of God. Thank God when I get to heaven, I won't have to rake another dead leaf because there's no death. I'm excited about that. This has been 2 weeks now. Every day last week when I came home from school, what did I do? I climbed on my roof and I blew out my gutters because the leaves just constantly falling in. Well, you might need a gutter guard system. Well, the rain runs off and I've had water in the basement, so I just leave the gutters open. So I deal with the leaves. I praise God there's no death in heaven. Amen. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Like I said, Adam, it was not God's will for Adam to die. It never was. It was his choice to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and to disobey the Lord. And that brought death. Praise the worship team. You go ahead and come on up. I already shared with you Colossians 1:12 that we are already in the kingdom of God. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness, which you're born into the kingdom of light. In Matthew, it says there are two fathers. It says you are of your father, the devil. And then we know there's our heavenly father, God. That's the only options. Anybody just, you know, is out there and says, well, I don't believe God exists, they're of the father, the devil. Whether they believe in God or not, it's irrelevant. If we're believing and holding true to the Bible as God's holy word, if you come to me and you want to ask me a question, I only have an answer. I got to find it in his word. I started asking my kids this question because they're old enough. One of my children made a statement to me the other day at dinner. She's worried about her image, which is very common for girls of my age that I have. It's eating her up inside, what she wears, how her hair is it, every morning. And I'm like, Haley, image doesn't matter. It's not everything. She goes, yes, it is. And it does matter. I said, show me in the scripture. She goes, what? I said, I don't want to hear the opinion of one of my children on this. What does the Lord say about who you are? If you haven't watched, this is a shameless plug. But we're going through on Empowered Living, who you are in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. If you know who you are, you don't care what your friends at school think of you. If you do care and they're going to be mean to you, they're not your friends. What's it say in the Bible? And here's a question I ask my children. When they talk to each other, sometimes in not so nice ways. If you have multiple kids at home and they're around the same age, I'm sure it happens at your household too, right? And I ask them this question. Is it kind? Is it uplifting and encouraging? Did you need to say it? And then I open up my Bible where it talks about coarse jesting. And I say, this is why I'm telling you this. This isn't my idea or opinion. You're not happy right now and you're miserable because you're doing things contrary to what the Lord would have you to do. And there's no victory in that. And therefore you fight and you bicker and you're arguing over what? A yo-yo. That was the last thing on Friday. My life's real, people. Okay? But so is the word of God. And I don't want to give them a different answer. They come to me, you know, if you have children too and they asphyxiate on one thing. Like a stomach always hurting. Every night my stomach hurts. Or fear before bed every night. This is just my home. And I tell them the same answer. And this last time I told them the same answer, I told them this. I'm not giving you a different answer because this works. I can't make up something better than what the scripture is. Like my daughter said last night, her favorite verse was 2 Timothy 1:7. I had them both memorized early in life. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I said, quote it. It says, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. If you're quoting that scripture, your mind is on the word of God. It's not on the fear of going to sleep. If your mind is on the scripture and it's on the word of God, it's not on your stomach bothering you right now. It doesn't make your stomach go away just like that. But you're starting to operate in the kingdom. You're seeking first the kingdom, and these things are going to be added unto you. And there'll be no fear over dreams. There'll be no fear of dark. There'll be no stomach issues hurting. Why? Because the healing and deliverance manifests itself in the kingdom of God because we've been given authority and power in his kingdom. And my children are saved. They have the same authority and power, and that's what I'm trying to teach them. I'm trying to do it in a calm voice, unfrustrated. Romans 14:17. Right? And then I go, after I deal with them about those issues, I go into the to my room. I said, slow to anger, quick to listen. You know, I start preaching to myself scripture so I can come to them calmly and peaceably. Romans 14:7, it says, the kingdom of God is not food and drink. 14:17, sorry. It is not food and drink, but it is rightness. It is what is right before the Lord God, which we are right before God, you and I, by the blood of Jesus. When he sees us, he sees his son. Praise God. Amen. But it is righteousness, and it is joy, or I'm sorry, it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. See, again, our acceptance and approval of men doesn't come through what we do. It comes through who we serve. It comes through Christ Jesus. Why can you and I have joy in this world? Because we belong to another kingdom. We don't have to obey the will of the devil. The kingdom of God is where his will is being done. If his will is being done in your life and in my life, then joy should be seen in our life. It should be our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It says joy in the Holy Spirit. Then peace that passes understanding. Anybody else looking at our circumstances would be just a worried sick about it. Just think about that. Go ahead and stay with me. Think about that phrase, worried sick. That's two. That's two. That's two wrong things together. And the world puts them together. Why? Because they know that they coexist together. Worrying and being sick. How many diseases are psychosomatic, meaning they're developed in the mind, you dwell upon them, and your body starts to react according to how your synapses are firing and telling it to react? Well, let's just start declaring the word of God. We start declaring the word of God instead. He keep me in perfect peace, so my mind is upon him. It says, cast your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. How many cares? All of them? What are you casting? All the things you're not seeking, because you're seeking his kingdom first. What are you casting? Your children, in a good way. Don't throw them. You're casting your job, your career, making a living. What you're going to wear. Could you bring it down just a little bit, Kimberly, for a moment here? His joy gives me strength to do what's right, and I have peace beyond understanding. Look, Spirit of Life Church should be a place where God's will is being done. It means it's a place where the kingdom of God should manifest. This is a kingdom outpost. It means when you come in here, you shouldn't come in here sad. It's a place of joy. When you come in here, it's a place where peace rules, and so it should be a place of rest. When you come in here, manifest, it should be what's right is being done in here and back there. When you come in here and you're sad, you got to shake that off. That's not the kingdom of God. When we're singing songs and worshiping our Lord who's given us his joy to be our strength, smile, clap, shout, dance. Go ahead. Nobody, there's no signs to say don't. I mean, I don't want to see some of those hip-hop dances out here that aren't inappropriate, but you know what I'm saying. Do it before the Lord. Amen. But the kingdom outpost should be a place of joy and peace and rest, and it's in you, and you take it with you. Because you're operating in the will of God. You are his kingdom come. That will be done on earth. You here. This treasure we have in earthen vessels. You guys are a manifestation of the kingdom to all those around you. Or we should be. In our lives, we should see what is right. Joy, peace, healing, deliverance, provision for things. Revelation chapter 21. I'll end with this. I just want to reinforce to you the will of God. Chapter 21, verses 1. Says it like this. Do you have that one up there, Tyler? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Who's going to get that new heaven and new earth? Kingdom kids, you and I. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. We covet so much the land we live on and the home we dwell in. It's not going to be here. My father, your father, is preparing a new home for you. And it's nicer than the one I live at. It's nicer than the one you live at. No matter how nice your home is right now. I want to finish that verse, 21:1. There was no more sea. Verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God, this is the will of God. If he's getting rid of this, then he doesn't want it. It's not his will. So I wipe away all tears. No crying. Praise God, because I cry at every movie. It'd be nice to watch a movie and not cry. I'm being serious here. There shall be no more death, there shall be no more sorrow, nor crying, neither any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 22, verse 1 says, and there'll be no more curse, and in the curse is all the sickness and disease. These things, curse, dying, pain, sorrow, crying, are not the will of God, or he would never get rid of them. Amen? And it says, in Matthew 6, 9, and 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's right now in me. It means I don't need to cry or sorrow like the world does, because that sorrow, worldly sorrow, brings death. I don't need to have pain like the world does. And I don't need to die like the world does. May I die? Yes, but it will be in faith. And I'll immediately be with the Lord and joy forever. Amen. I'm going to read this over you. I was worshiping and I got this. And then we'll let the praise and worship team worship. If you receive it, just say, thank you, Lord, and receive it as a prayer for yourself. But this built my spirit up and encouraged me. He's been God a long time. He never falls off of his throne. He is not a part of the world or kingdom like we live in. We don't elect and reject God, but we chose God, and God never falls off of his throne. We chose goodness, a God who is good. We chose joy. We chose peace. We chose righteousness. We chose healing. We chose deliverance. We chose salvation. We chose strength and victory. We chose patience and mercy. We chose love and faithfulness. And we chose one who is able and one who is eternal. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. You are God, and you've been God for a very long time, and that long time will continue into eternity. And God, we chose you. You chose us first, but we yielded. We bent our knee. We bowed our hearts. We confessed with our mouth that Jesus, you are Lord, who came and died again. And so now we are part of your kingdom, God. And you are God over us. You are Lord. And we serve a good God. And we can walk in righteousness, love, peace, and joy, and faith, and patience, and mercy. God, we can live by your grace, and I thank you for that today as your child, as a joint heir with Christ Jesus in your kingdom, eternal, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.